listening to the problems and then offering solutions. They happen to be women-owned. In our case, we work with women-owned businesses based in 135 countries. But here in India, you have some of the most educated and entrepreneurial women in the world. Every reason for their success. They're able to start making those shifts into the sectors of construction, into the sector, to sections like semiconductors. So it's just making sure the women have access to the right knowledge and the right networks that becomes a game changer for them to pivot what they're comfortable with today into what the needs are of these large buyers in the future.
Welcome to a very special podcast series, Unusual Suspects. I'm your host, Gaurav Chaudhary. This is a series about unraveling stories of entrepreneurs, investors, and businesses and professionals who are disruptors, yet not in your face. Their disruptions have consistently delivered on the purpose and the mission they've embarked on. Their values are as strong as the mission. While they're ruthless in pursuing their ambition, they don't stray from being leaders who are not just admired for the vision and relentless pursuit, but also for how they're building an ecosystem of believers who consistently push the boundaries. They allow principles to take precedence over ad hocism. For them, profitability is as important as scale, creating and leading new categories and innovations. In each episode, I speak to one or two such leaders, talking to her or him or them about their businesses, lives, inspirations, interests, challenges, pivot moments and turning points, successes, failures, agonies and ecstasies, and of course, the little joys. It is as much about their personal life stories as about their entrepreneurial and professional journeys. Unusual Suspects streams on earshot.in, spotify.com, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, moneycontrol.com, and a host of other podcast streaming platforms. For this episode, I'm delighted to have Elizabeth A. Vasquez, President and CEO and co-founder of WeConnect International, a global advocacy organization that educates and connects women-owned businesses to qualified buyers around the world. Ms. Vasquez is the co-author of the book Buying for Impact, How to Buy from Women and Change Our World. She has served as a member of the UN Secretary General's high-level panel on women's empowerment. Welcome to Unusual Suspects, Ms. Vasquez. Delighted to have you.
Thank you for including me.
Okay, let's start off with a very basic question. What's your view, about, as an outsider and who has traveled across, what's your view about diversity of women in India and the kind of opportunities that they're getting?
I think the word you used, opportunity, is the word that comes to mind. I think there's huge potential here. You have millions and millions and millions of women who are entrepreneurial, they're well educated, they're very passionate, and they're looking for an equal opportunity to start and grow businesses and to offer their solutions to problems. So I see nothing but potential and opportunity here in India.
And you know, how do you think supplier diversity and inclusion can contribute towards Prime Minister Modi's vision of making India the top three economies by 2047, also called the Vision 2047? Because PM Modi is very clear about it, that by 2047, which is the 100th year of India's independence, India should become a developed country, which in Hindi is called Viksit Bharat. What's your view about supplier diversity and inclusion? How can it contribute towards that goal?
I think it's not possible to achieve Vision 2047 by leaving half of the population out. There's every reason, business reasons, social reasons, cultural reasons, for why Prime Minister Modi has had such a huge focus on the role of women in women-led development. I think that's a very specific shift from women's economic empowerment to actually recognizing the role and the need for women to truly lead. When it comes to supplier diversity and inclusion, I think it is a recognition that how we spend our money actually says everything about what we value. Women right now are invisible in our global value chains as suppliers of solutions to problems, products and services, and there is a huge opportunity here in India to ensure that everyone in the country has an equal opportunity to contribute and to benefit from inclusive economic growth.
You know, in the last 10 years, India has emerged as a strong and vibrant economy that has spurred growth of women-owned businesses. In your view, are companies investing enough? Or if I may rephrase that question, do you think enough institutional investor interest is actually coming to women-owned businesses in India?
I think for the longest time in the space of women's economic empowerment, we've been focused on microfinance. I think that is incredibly important, and so is training, and so is technology as an entrepreneurial enabler. But at the end of the day, when we talk about power, we have to look at how money flows. Mm-hmm. And when you do that, you have to think about how our global value chains work, mm-hmm. who's included and who's excluded. Mm-hmm. And I think the only way we're going to move the needle on true inclusive economic growth and prosperity is by ensuring that everyone has an equal opportunity to contribute and everyone has an equal opportunity to benefit. And I know that women in India have firsthand knowledge of the problems to be solved, whether it's in health or education, the way our cities are built, the way we deliver products, the services, all of these things are opportunities for women to be creative, be innovative, and our supply chains to be open to the solutions that those women are delivering.
And what are the trends you have been spotting in the Indian market that will support supplier diversity and inclusion?
So here in India, we're doing a series of summits, starting with Delhi and then Hyderabad and then Bengaluru. And that's because there are women-owned businesses in those, across the country, but in those cities in particular, where there's huge potential in the growth sectors, whether it's semiconductor sector, the pharma sector, sustainability, technology in general. These are the growth sectors where there's the most profit potential. Women historically, unfortunately, have gone into those, low cost to entry, but low profit potential sectors. We have to shift that. So we're trying to demystify how value chains actually work. It's a $100 trillion global economy. There's plenty of money. Mm-hmm. Why are women still invisible as suppliers in that in those global value chains? So starting on the demand side, what is it that these big corporations, the government, multilateral, what is it that they buy? What are their problems? We need to do a better job of demystifying how these value chains work and making sure that the women have access to that market knowledge, but also opportunities to meet the actual buyers who are making those decisions, and simplifying the processes, the steps that it normally takes for a small business to get into a supply chain by meeting those actual buyers, listening to the problems, and then offering solutions. They happen to be women-owned. In our case, we work with women-owned businesses based in 135 countries. But here in India, you have some of the most educated and entrepreneurial women in the world, mm-hmm. and every reason for their success.
One of the reasons why countries progress is also because of the political leadership. And strong political leadership, a stable government, and also enabling policy interventions. And of course, an attractive market for global companies. India, of course, is an attractive market because of the size of the population. We are 1.45 billion and counting. And these are the prerequisites for growth of entrepreneurship, because these are the factors that actually trigger entrepreneurship. How do you see women participating in this?
Well, we just heard from the leadership of the MSME part of the government, and it's very clear in Vision 2047 that the country can't afford to leave the women behind. Mm-hmm. And in fact, putting women as the leaders in development becomes a really critical strategy by having the public sector leverage the purchasing power, their own purchasing power, but also creating incentives for the private sector to also leverage their purchasing power. It's the single most effective way to have inclusive growth is to look at how we spend our money and just making sure that at least some of that money that we're going to spend anyway, governments, private sector, is leveraged and used with the women-owned businesses of the country. So for me, economic development really starts with how we're investing and understanding that we need the abilities of our entire communities. And it's the way women, when they earn money, it's how they spend their money. They re-spend it, as you know, reinvested into their families, into their communities. So it's a multiplier effect that is particularly exciting for the corporations we work with.
It's interesting that you mentioned corporations, because large corporations and businesses in India are actively supporting supplier diversity and inclusion in their procurement policy. In your view, are we getting there?
We're not getting there globally. Globally, our member buyers, who are the best of the best on inclusive sourcing, literally the best in the world, they spend over $4 trillion a year on products and services. Only 1% of that is going to women-owned businesses, who own about a third of the world's businesses, about 20% of the businesses here in India. So it's a massive market failure. And we really have to do a better job of understanding, why is that market failure happening on the supply side? What is it that those women-owned businesses need to do differently to be more competitive? And also on the demand side, why is it that so many of the world's largest buyers, and here in India, whether it's the Indian government that has finally put into place some specific goals and targets for inclusive sourcing from women-owned businesses and other underutilized community members, but also creating that enabling environment for the private sector to be incentivized to do more to leverage that purchasing power, not because it's a charity, but because they're missing out on half of the world, half of the country's talent. They need everyone to show up and to compete for their business. And that's really, at the end of the day, what this is making sure there's an equal opportunity for everyone to contribute and to benefit.
Absolutely. And you are working to create a strong pool of women-owned businesses who can qualify and participate in the global supply chain through training, skilling, and certification. What has been the response? And if you can share some numbers, you know, how many women-owned businesses have been trained, and do you track the record and growth?
So globally, the women-owned businesses are based in 135 countries. So we have over 17,000 women-owned businesses that are on any given day knocking on the doors of our member buyers, receiving training on how to grow their business through access to markets, linkages between access to markets and access to finance, but also the role of civil society. Here in India, we have many, many partnerships with incredible organizations. Some of them we partnered with on this event today, whether it's the work being done in the chambers or NASCOM or Fiki Flow or COE or any number of associations of women business owners. All of them are already doing the hard work of identifying the women-owned businesses, developing the capacity. Maybe it's access to finance, maybe it's technology as an entrepreneurial enabler. But historically, there hasn't been enough done on connecting the women who are business owners. And if you ask the women, what do they want most? As a business owner, what they want most is to sell their stuff. And there's very, very little being done, not enough yet, to connect those women-owned businesses with actual buyers. And today, it's the first time in human history where we have buyers lining up saying, we need women to knock on our doors. We want to have the access to all of the best suppliers. We just don't know where these women business owners are. Right. So now it's really up to all of us to create that ecosystem and to work together to identify, develop the capacity, and then connect.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, the fact that making women-owned entrepreneurs competitive for global supply chain is crucial, and that is something that is a given. But what challenges do you see, particularly, say, for instance, like trade barriers, non-tariff barriers to protectionism and economic situations? Do these, what is the kind of impact that these challenges are creating, and how do you actually, you know, work around this? And are you in talks with the government here, particularly in India, for any policy support you may think may increase the number of women-owned entrepreneurs who can competitively participate in the global supply chain?
So WeConnect International is very fortunate because we work with the largest corporations in the world, and everyone is increasingly understanding the role of women as business owners, as job creators, as innovation drivers. it's really important that we build those public-private partnerships. We leverage the investments that governments are already making in their respective countries, but also through different, as you mentioned, trade agreements. Yeah. A lot of those trade agreements talk about not only the local content opportunities, but how do we ensure that inclusive trade is happening so that we have inclusive economic development. And so we are starting to see these different types of trade and legislative tools incorporate the need to feature the role of women, to feature the role of small businesses, to ensure that at least between India and the United States, for example, we have trade missions, that we're highlighting the growth sectors, the needs of both countries, whether it's peace and security, or it's in the technology space, whether it's agriculture, food and beverage. All of these things are critical to the populations in the respective countries to, yes, have be strong domestically, but also to take advantage of who is better at doing certain things, and so that we have a leveraging of expertise and raw materials that are stronger in some economies than in others. So I think there's an increasing recognition.
Absolutely. And have you identified any sectors that are attractive for women-owned businesses and certified women-owned businesses in India?
So women historically around the world, including in India, are most strong in business services. But business services are a big business. So we work with some women-owned businesses around the world that are, you know, over $1 billion in annual revenue. And so the service space has huge potential once the women understand what types of services are needed by some of the largest buyers, whether it's governments or corporations. But in addition, where a lot of the money is in manufacturing. Right. And we see a lot of women here in what would be considered, light manufacturing. But they have the infrastructure and the ability. If they know how to do light manufacturing, if they understood what type of heavier manufacturing is required and they start to understand the standards, then they're able to start making those shifts into the sectors of construction, into the sector, to sections like semiconductors. So it's just making sure the women have access to the right knowledge and the right networks that becomes a game changer for them to pivot what they're comfortable with today into what the needs are of these large buyers in the future.
And what are your expectations from the Tree City Summit in India?
Of the what?
Of the Tree City Summit in India.
Well, for us, helping to demystify what is it that these big buyers are wanting and needing, and helping to give visibility, making the invisible visible by having these women business owners show up, talk about what they do. Our member buyers are always very, very impressed by what these women are doing because they just didn't know that they could offer those types of products and services. And so these summits, starting with Delhi and then moving over to Hyderabad and then Bengaluru, are absolutely critical for bringing together actual buyers with women suppliers, giving them a platform to show off and to listen, and then to have conversations. And that's really what trade is about. It's about relationships and building trust and mutual understanding of the challenges that they face in doing business together, and then finding ways to do business anyway.
And finally, are you planning anytime soon to ring the bell in support of women business owners in the National Stock Exchange here in India?
I would love to ring the bell. I had the good fortune to ring the bell at the New York Stock Exchange a couple of years ago. But here in India, I think there's a lot of bells that should be rung. I may not be the right person to do it. I genuinely believe it's important to feature the people in the country who are doing the hard work. And I think there are many women leaders in this country who should be ringing that bell on a daily basis.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Ms. Vasquez, for taking the time out and dropping by to have this conversation with us and sharing your deep insights and perspectives.
Thank you so much for hosting these unusual and spectacular conversations, those stories that wouldn't normally be told. Your commitment to inclusion is deeply appreciated.
Thank you so much.